Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, if you have left, you want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
I know your anger, I know your dreams.
be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Mendel Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on reports from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the right occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so goddamn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally screwed Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry Arm women liberationists and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, or Engelbert Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
wish you made.
You cannot understand it at all.
Better?
Nope. It's really bad.
You ought to wipe down, Timmy.
It's very bad. It's very scratchy and everything.
Okay, I'll have to re-record. How do I sound, though? I'm trying to go through
You sound fine.
Okay.
The first song you played was able to hear it, but that one was scratchy. It's just, I couldn't even make out anything.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just going through the microphone for that song. That is a news broadcast music. That's what that is.
Oh, I never heard that before.
Yeah. Well, I never loaded it. It ain't loaded into the board. I'm just playing it off the speakers.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
No, I missed last night's show. I think I was partially there, partially not. My phone took a dynamite dive. Did I? Well, I need my ass kicked anyway. I dropped my phone in the toilet.
Mrs. Rutgers kicked your butt.
Well, yeah, but I have insurance on this for that accident thing there.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Well, I know, but I put it in a bowl of rice, you know?
Yeah, like
they
say.
Apart. Right.
Yeah.
And that didn't work. It would not receive calls. And it did try out some work. You can see the numbers. You can dial it, you know, but it wasn't getting out to nobody or nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I left in there all night long, and then so I had to go to the phone store today. I just got home about 8:30 because they did not have a phone to replace it with there, unless I paid out another $100-some-odd, and I ain't doing that. That's why I pay for the insurance.
Yeah, that's usually what happens when you have insurance. You still got to dish out. See, I don't do that. Now, of course, I hope I don't never do it. But I know, you know, my children have had to do that.
Right. Well, what happens, I drop my keys. I was in the bathroom, using the bathroom, okay? And I have my keys in one hand. Well, I'm just letting you know how this happened. This is a freaky event. Anyway, I have my keys in one hand and my unit in the other, and I have my phone in my top pocket. But I reach over and grab something off the stand by next to the toilet, and I drop my keys, so I reach down and pick them up, not remember the phone was in my top pocket, my T-shirt, you know, and when I did that, it this damn thing, it is slick. It you know, it's hard to hold on to it anyway. You know what I mean? It's real slick. You know, like you can sit on the center console of my truck, and that thing will slide off every time. It always goes in the passenger side where you can't get to it. You know, so around here we don't have curbs. We don't have places to pull over side of the road here at all.
Right.
You pull off the side of the road here, you're going off a cliff. You know. So yeah. So I need a.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tell Mrs. Breck I'll help find the 2x4 for her.
All righty. But anyway, I had to wait there most of the day for them to bring a replacement phone like mine from a store that's 50 miles away. They said they have it for me tomorrow, but they will be closed tomorrow for the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, so I've been without a phone. So I had to sit there and wait all day for the phone.
Yeah.
And they got me one here. I don't have it all programmed yet for me, so it takes my number, and I can call out, but I haven't received one phone call on it yet. Nobody's called me or, I don't know, something.
Uh-huh. Well, I called you.
Well, they saved the data out of my phone, you know, my contacts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They said they put it back in this phone, so when's the last time you called me? What time did you call? So I just got activated about 8:30.
A couple minutes ago.
Really?
Before I came to the show. Yeah, because I wanted to make sure that you knew you had a show.
Well, yeah.
That this
well,
was
I
your
found
night.
Out. I was trying to program a show in, but somebody beat me to it.
Yeah, I did it last night.
Well, thank you. You're a sweetheart to have.
Remember I told you, I said, okay, I'm going to program your show in for you. And
okay.
You were the one who
I
said,
remember.
Make it. Pardon me?
I don't remember.
Oh, you were the one who even gave me the time. You wanted it later.
Yeah, I thought later would be better. It's Friday night. You know, too many people out. You know, we don't see too many people till late in our show anyway. You know, even though I got a real good clip, that people should hear. I'm stuck on that 1871 subject. You know, because I was into that before, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you.
And I just saw another clip.
Yeah, that was really good. Can you put us in the screen room and play a song?
Sure. Hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm kind of slow today.
I see you're having challenging day.
Yes, I did. Well, I cut the grass. I got that done. I was trying to storm, and I beat that.
Yeah, that's what they said it was going to do here, but it didn't.
There's so many songs you put in, y'all.
Yes, and I put some new stuff in there yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Well, I try to make sure that we have music.
Well, yeah, I know. I appreciate you. I appreciate it all.
And I try to go across the board. I try to go back on memory.
Right. Hey, listen. I'm a Gil Scott fan, so let's rock with this one. All right.
Okay.
Don't want to be involved in this, man. This is gonna be a blues number.
Yeah.
But first, I want to do a little bit of background on the blues and say what it is. Like, there are six cardinal colors, and colors have always come to signify more than simply that particular shade, like redneck or got the blues. That's where you apply colors to something else, you know, to come up with what it is you're trying to say. So there are six cardinal colors, yellow, red, orange, green, blue, and purple. And there are 3,000 shades. And if you take these 3,000 shades and divide them by six, you'll come up with 500. Meaning there are at least 500 shades of the blues. For example, there's the I ain't got me no money blues. There is the I ain't got me no woman blues. There's the I ain't got me no money and I ain't got me no woman, which is the double blues. And for years it was thought that black people was the only one who could get the blues, so the blues hadn't come into no international type of fame. But lately we done had Frank Rizzo with the lie detector blues. We done had the United States government talking about the energy crisis blues. And we're going to dedicate this next poem here to Spearhead X, the X second in command in terms of this country.
Got the blues.
And the poem is called H2O GATE Blues. And if H2O is still water and GATE is still gate, what we're getting ready to deal on is the Watergate Blues. Let me see if I can dial this number right quick. Click. Click. I'm sorry. The government you have elected is inoperative. Click. Inoperative. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon, very surprising that we all could see the plot and still could not. Let me do that part again. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon, very surprising that we all could see the plot and claimed that we could not. Just how blind, America? Just as Vietnam exploded in the rice, snap, crackle, and pop could not stop people determined to be free, just how blind will America be? The shock of a Vietnam defeat sent Republican donkeys scurrying down on Wall Street. And when the roll was called, it was Pepsi Cola and Phillips 66. Boeing, Dow, and Lockheed. Ask them what they're fighting for, and they'll never mention the economics of war. Ecological warfare, above all else, destroy the land. If we can't break the Asian will, we'll bomb the dikes and starve the man. America, the international Jekyll and Hyde, the land of a thousand disguises, sneaks up on you but rarely surprises. Plundering the Asian countryside in the name of Fu Manchu. afraid of shoeless, undernourished Cambodians, while we strike big wheat bargains with Russia, our nuclear enemy. Just how blind, America? But tell me, who was around where Hale Boggs died? And what was the cause of LBJ's untimely demise? And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How long will the citizens sit and wait? It's looking like Europe in 38. Did they move to stop Hitler before it was too late? How long, America, before the consequences of keeping the school system segregated, allowing the press to be intimidated, watching the price of everything soar, and hearing complaints because the rich want more? It seems that Macbeth and not his lady went mad. We've let him eliminate the whole middle class. The dollar's the only thing we can't inflate, while the poor go on without a new minimum wage. But what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, and there are those who say America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How much more evidence do the citizens need that the election was sabotaged by trickery and greed? And if this is so, and who we got didn't win, let's do the whole goddamn election over again. The obvious key to the whole charade would be to run down all of the games they played. Remember Dieter Beard and ITT, the slaughter of Attica, the CIA in Chile, knowing nothing about Allende at this time in the past, as I recollect, Augusta, Georgia, the nomination of Supreme Court Justice to head off the tapes, William Calley's executive interference in the image of John Wayne, Kent State, Jackson State, Southern Louisiana, hundreds of authorized bombing raids, the chaining and gagging of Bobby Seale. Somebody tell these Maryland governors to be for real. We recall all of these events just to prove the Whataburgers in the Watergate wasn't no news. The thing that seems to justify all of our fears is that all this went down in the last 5 years. But tell me, what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. We leave America to ponder the image of justice from its new wave of leaders. Frank Rizzo, the high school graduate mayor of Philadelphia whose ignorance is surpassed only by those who voted for him. Richard Daley, imperial Napoleonic mayor of Chicago, who took over from Al Capone and continues to implement the same tactics. George Wallace, Lester Maddox, Strom Thurmond, Ronald Reagan, an almost endless list that won't be missed when at last America is purged. And the silent White House with the James brothers once in command. But see the sauerkraut mafia men deserting the sinking White House ship and their main mindless megalomaniac Ahab. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. And what are we left with now? Bumper stickers that say Free the Watergate 500. Spy movies of the same name with a cast of thousands. And that ominous phrase that if Nixon knew, Ag knew. But Ag didn't knew enough to stay out of jail. And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray. And there are those who swear they've seen King Richard. 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 Beneath that cesspool. Watergate. Four more years of that.
Was killing me. Okay. Bunch of doctors come around, they don't know that New York is killing me. Yeah, well, I need to go home and take it slow down in Jackson, Tennessee. Let me tell you, city living ain't all home. It is cracked up to be. Bad city living ain't all home. It is cracked up to be. Yeah, see, I need to go home and slow down in Jackson, Tennessee.
All right, sorry about that. I was a little delayed. That's the story of my life. I was born delayed. I was late then, and I'm late now, but hey, that's all right. I want to welcome everybody here to the Ron Rick Show here live on BTR on Friday night. You know, Friday night's my night where Antoinette don't really boss me around much, but she usually does. She's on the other line. But I love her just the same.
I don't boss you around.
You try to keep me in line. I know. I should start sending
now,
money for this.
I just called
this, you know.
To check. I just called to check in on the show.
Yeah.
And to see Philly. I had
hey,
to
Philly,
see
what's
Philly.
Happening, man? I'm gonna have all the phone lines open after this clip we're gonna play. I hope you're gonna enjoy it.
How long is
clip.
It?
It's Infinity and Beyond. No. It is a 14-minute clip.
Well, let me talk to Billy first, and then I'm getting off.
Well,
and I'm going to let you go on
off.
And have your show.
Well, Billy's not on the board.
Well, Billy, come on the board
talk.
So I can say hello to you.
I can't talk to you on the board.
Well, Billy, call in so I can say hello and bye-bye.
I don't have his number. I can call him, but I don't have his number.
Well, Billy, call in. I don't have his number either. I don't take BTR numbers.
He might have dropped his phone in the toilet, too, like me yesterday.
Oh, Lord, I don't think too many people do that or want to admit it to the world.
Well, what do I have to hide? I mean, I dropped my keys, I was half intoxicated, and I dropped it. Well, I didn't really drop it. I slid out. Slid out of my pocket. So I'm innocent. No, I'm guilty until proven innocent.
Well, you already admitted it.
Well, yeah, I got admitted guilty of what I've done. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so there's the proof right there, your own mouth. Your own mouth condemned you.
You made a deal with the prosecuting attorney to plead guilty to dropping your cell phone into the toilet. That is 30 days in jail, $500 fine, and 50,000 hours of community service. So there you go.
I think it should be 100,000.
All right. Thanks. Here you go. All right. Billy, what's happening, man?
Not much. I was making a tuna fish sandwich, and I figured, all right, let me run over and call in because Antoinette wants to go to bed. I got to get up early myself. I got to get up at 4:15. I got to go.
4:15.
Yeah, I got to drive about 45 minutes to pick up this Amish guy. They don't drive. And bring him back here.
Are you going to Lancaster?
No, not that far.
Okay.
He's coming back here. He's looking at my solar setup. He's building something for me. So I'm upgrading, and then he needs to build something else for me that's portable. So, they get up early, and so I have to get up early, too.
Yeah, when the sun comes up.
Uh-huh. I got to be at his house at 6. I got to be at his house at 6.
Yeah. And then, you know, you're running late then. You don't waste an hour or so daylight.
You know, I had a buddy of mine that talked to me last week. We were talking about solar panels. He bought him one of them 12-volt battery maintainers, solar maintainers.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't working out to his best interest, you know. And he always made fun of the little pinwheel on the front of my boat, all right? And I said, well, you know, that little pinwheel thing, you think it's a pinwheel? I never have to worry about charging my batteries, ever, ever. He goes, no shit. I said, no shit. He goes, what the hell is that? I said, it's a wind generator. The wind blows. It spins around, you know. It goes, you know, does a complete 360, you know, and it does well. And I said, I could sit tied off, and if the wind's blowing good, which is on lake, it's always blowing something, you know. It'll recharge a full battery within 30 minutes. So it works out great. But I have 3 batteries on my boat, too. So, you know, 1 for the trolling motor and 2 for the – or 2 for the trolling motor and 1 for the motor. So,
well, the batteries are for the trolling motor, right?
What's that?
The batteries are for, like, lights and the trolling motor, right?
The 2 batteries, no, they're just for the trolling motor by itself. It's a 70-pound thrust, 24-volt. It's one of them high-dollar mini Kodas.
Yeah, I had one. I guess if you got it up at number 4 or 5, I forget what it goes up to, that would be enough to start recharging a battery as you're using the motor.
Right, yeah, the motor itself will, right, because I got a 75-horse Johnson on the back of this boat. But the fan, the wind turbine, even at the dock, just sitting there spinning, you know, so.
Right. Absolutely. That's a good idea.
Right. But it has a trickle breaker, you know, disconnect. Once the battery's full, it quits charging. It just shuts off.
Right.
I mean, it's still spinning, but it ain't putting nothing out anymore. But it's nicer. I mean, because a lot of, you know, I've got tired of dragging a battery charger out there and all that crazy shit and to charge it up. And then they had kids coming on the docks and stealing shit, you know, stealing them, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, and the little wind turbine that I have in my boat, I can take off and hide it. They don't see it. But they need the inverter and all that stuff also to, you know, any good for them to use it.
Oh,
but
dude,
like
I'm
it.
A freaking cool. I almost died yesterday.
Almost
I'm not
died.
What happened?
I don't know. I have diabetes, right? Never had a problem with a medication. You know, I mm-hmm. came home, I checked my sugar, it was up, it was like 198. Which is, you know, that's not normal. 98 is normal. So I took my insulin shot. Took my insulin shot, and my back was killing me. So I took.
Your back was hurting. It wasn't killing you. It was hurting.
Well, it feels like it's killing me. Well, I should
same
have.
Thing, yeah.
I don't know now because that Chris had to call an ambulance because it was getting bad, dude. I never experienced, I guess you would call it, medical confusion. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Because your sugar was off. That's why.
It went down to 34.
Yeah, that's why your sugar was really off. You didn't eat when you took your insulin, did you?
But see, the thing is it was 190.
You didn't eat when you took your insulin, did you?
No, I did. I had a little piece of cake. But I said I took the hydrocortisone and insulin at basically the same time.
Well, I don't think you should have did that.
Well, see, I asked the medic when he came, because when I realized that something was wrong, because I couldn't see right, and the confusion, the only way I can explain it is it's very loud in your head. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have full memory of what I did. I remember going over and taking my sugar, and it was at 40. And then the next thing I remember, I don't know what I did in between, is I took it again. I don't know how much time went by, and it was 34. And then I do remember I told Chris, I says, get me milk and just pour a lot of sugar in it and give it to me. And, you know, because that's got some protein in it also besides.
Yeah, you didn't have any orange juice or hard candy?
No, I drank some. I drank juice boxes. She gave me juice boxes. I drank two tall cups. Well, the things with the sugar milk is it's got protein. So once your sugar starts coming up, it's got that protein in to keep it up. And
catches it.
Yeah. So that was freaky. That was the freakiest thing. I mean, I was seeing, like, it wasn't tunnel vision. It was like almost like a migraine type of vision disturbance. Everything, my body felt real heavy, like it was getting squished. And the confusion was so loud.
Well, also, that dropped really quick. It you were 198 and you dropped to 40. That's
34,
a big drop
actually.
In a...
But 34 is the lowest, and the medic, when he got here...
Yeah,
when
so you ought to be glad you didn't go into a coma.
That's what the medic said. He
yeah,
said, I'm
diabetic shock.
He said, I'm really surprised that you didn't go into a seizure or been just completely unconscious at that level, at 34.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, my God, man.
Yeah, you need to have them check your pancreas.
The pancreas puts out insulin.
I know you need... Just trust me. You said your back was bothering you.
Well, I have bad discs. I hurt my disc in my
back. Oh, okay. I have bad discs, too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know sometimes they'll tell you you're a diabetic, and it's not that you're a diabetic. Unfortunately, it can be pancreatic cancer.
No, that's...
And
that's,
because
that's
they get lazy, and they don't want to check everything, that's the reason why when you said your back was hurting... You know, and I said, oh, you probably need to tell them to check your pancreas.
No, I got
but if you have bad discs, I understand. I have two bad discs, too.
Yeah, I got three protruding discs. And I've had this diabetes for, like, you know, 15 years. I was taking
mm-hmm.
medicine. I was taking medicine for it, and that really wasn't really working. So they moved on to the insulin. But that taking the insulin, that's never happened before. I only take it once a day. I take it, like, right before dinner. And... That's never happened to me before. Now, today I took a little less. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you take too much?
I don't think so. You take 40 units, and I'm like, oh.
I don't take insulin, but I understand.
Yeah. That freaked me out.
I was a diabetic at one time for 3 whole months. And then I went to a specialist
mm-hmm.
because – my sugar was always dropping low like yours did, and he took me off of it. And told me, he said, you're not a diabetic.
Yeah,
and he just said, you know, probably that when they diagnosed me because of the medications that I was on.
Right.
Probably, you know, caused my.
Triggered it. Made it that way.
Yeah. Because they had me on insulin and stuff. And he told me, he said, and plus I lost weight. And
right.
he said, well, that took care of it right there. You know, he said, no, you're fine.
Yeah, and you know something that's weird because, you know, I didn't I don't remember panicking. You know what I mean? For some reason, I do remember running my head under, like, freezing cold water. I don't know why I did that.
Well, probably to keep yourself awake or, you know, so that you won't
I don't know why
pass
I did
out,
it.
Maybe.
I don't know why I did it. I have no – because the confusion – like I said, it's just loud and random. That's inside your head. The confusion was really
weird.
I wasn't thinking of dying or any of that stuff. It was just, it's like a blur. It's really weird. Never experienced.
Yeah, that happened to me like, oh, Lord. Maybe like 14 years ago, 10,
yeah.
13 years ago. And that's what they said. And so.
Oh, I was soaked in sweat. You know, I didn't even realize. I was just, you know, because, you know, when the medic got here, there was other people here that came before him. And she's like, oh, yeah, when we got here, he was sweating profusely. And as soon as she said that, I realized, you know, oh, my God, like every part of my body is just covered in sweat.
Oh, my. Well, I'm glad that you came out of that all right.
Yeah, I survived.
Yes, that is a good thing. Now, did you listen to the show last night? Were you here?
Did I pop in? I might have. I was over at George's show, and your show usually runs later. So
yeah,
but
last night because of the guest that we had, because you know we had a guest last night.
Oh, I know I downloaded it, so I probably.
Billy.
If I downloaded it, I didn't listen to it, but I got it downloaded.
Oh, Billy, when you listen to it. You're really going to, I really think you're going to love it.
Well, who was the guest?
Deborah Therese of StopTheCrime.net.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yes, and she was excellent. She was truly, truly excellent. And last night she didn't, you know, we didn't take any calls. But the next time that she comes, you know, we'll let her give us, you know, her presentation and everything. And then, you know, we'll make time to take a couple of calls. But it was really a great show.
Yeah, like I said, I do have it downloaded. I know I downloaded it.
Yeah, and she was here for the whole 3 hours.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so. Really, I mean, she covered everything and then some. And then told you where to get all the information at and everything.
Well, that's always good when you can, you know, verify the information.
Yep.
But
so,
they were, I was on a program earlier today. They were talking about, you know, the FEMA coffins. And I'm listening to it. And I'm like, you know something, let me look into this more. And, you know, I was just like, you know, they were calling it a liner. And then I'm like, it's too big to be a liner. They're saying, oh, you said 4 bodies in there. So, I searched the RAM, and what I decided to put in was coffin vaults, because it looks like a vault to me. And I found one that I could buy on display at a cemetery.
Okay.
You know, and it shows you, it's the same exact thing. It's just upside down. Okay? Because
mm-hmm.
actually the lid goes on the bottom. It gets clamped at the bottom. And then the coffin
mm-hmm.
goes in, and then the big part that you see all stacked up goes on top. And they, and
mm-hmm.
it was and then they had a big cutout. It was a display and a big cutout in the center, and there was a coffin in there. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what it is. It's a prefab, basically non-concrete coffin vault.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I remember seeing pictures of that. I guess maybe yet last year or the year before, something like that. I remember seeing that, you know, where they were showing where FEMA had ordered all of these.
No, they haven't. They didn't order them. There's no paperwork on them ordering it. Because, you know, somebody called in and said something that kind of made sense. And I'm like, well, let me look into it. And I'm like, you know, there it is. It's a coffin. It's a less expensive coffin vault. Because if the coffin's not in anything, and they put your cast in the ground and you know, fill it up, your coffin gets crushed.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when my day comes, I won't care.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, well, it's not like you're going to really know, Ben. But
yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's so much. Who knows what's true and what's not true?
Yeah, what's next is the question. That's my always question.
Yeah.
What is next? So you got a guest in the chat room, guest 7694. Welcome to the show. Yeah, man. Once it's over, so a matter of fact, the folks are looking. They went to a crematory seminar on cremation, or whatever it is. You know, you find how they do it and all that. Blah blah blah. Blah. They're considering going that route. You know. So I don't know. Said Grandpa was just cheaper. Well, yeah. But I said, Grandpa, I have a backhoe, and all we need is a backhoe, a bag of lime, a sheet, some rope, and we go to the courthouse and fill out a paperwork for a quick claim deed for a chunk of land called a plot, and there you go. It's buried right here at the farm. Be done with you.
Well, you could build him a box, put him in.
You could, but you don't have to. You're legal in Missouri. All you need is you got to wrap him in a sheet with lime, okay? A little lime in there on top of him. Wrap them up, so you got to tie both ends of the sheet, okay? Both ends got to be tied with a rope, okay? Like a, it'd look like a, I guess a piece of candy wrapped up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the full length of the body, and then you take them and you place them in the ground, you know, at least 6 feet, and then you take them to the on top of them, and you're done. That's it.
Okay, well, I'm going to let y'all get to Reckless Fridays with Ron Reck and...
Where are you going? You're already here.
Hey, this is Reckless Friday.
I'm trying to get as many victims as I can get in here, Antoinette. As many victims
Man, I'm letting you have your victims, and I'm getting out the way. So they cannot say that Antoinette was a part of that. I'm keeping my name clean.
I'll take you down with me. I don't care. Mm-mm.
Nah.
Yep. She was there, Your Honor. She was there. I swear to it.
Yep, and she left before the madness got started.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him,
Billy. I'm very timid. You ain't going to listen to this clip. I'm going to play your Loveless clip.
No,
it's
I'm
very
ready
educational.
To get out of here.
I think
well,
you
I'm
need to
sure
listen to this
clip.
Well, I'm sure it is. Sounds like Antoinette has a date. Sounds like
Antoinette
has a date.
I'm ready to take off. I'm off tonight.
Yeah, day tonight.
Well, we're calling you in. Antoinette, you got to come in.
Pardon me?
Somebody didn't
Pardon
show up,
me?
You got to come in and get to work a double. Somebody didn't show up for work now, you got to come in and pull a double.
No, I did that last night.
I know.
Yeah, see? This
All right.
is your night.
Okay.
You wanted Friday night, you got Friday night. I even programmed the show for you.
I know, because you're a sweetheart.
You didn't
half,
play but... Living for the Weekend. I put that song in there just for you. It's Friday. I even got you the song.
When I start the show, I
even
I
got
dyslexic.
You the song with Friday Night is My Night.
Yeah, and
I tried to have you prepared.
But it's hard to prepare. I'm dyslexic, and I have Alzheimer's.
Well, Mrs. Reck...
other better call her.
You better call Mrs. Rex. She'll help you.
Yeah, she might. She lives through it.
Yeah.
Nothing, dear.
As long as she, I heard her, what?
She's just wanting to tell I'm talking about. I'm talking about her. She's going to beat me up in a minute. Anyway.
Well, she should.
Well, she does.
Tell her I said hello.
You know what? I think it's really bullshit.
Tell her I said hello. Pardon me?
She wouldn't back in the other room. She wouldn't back in the room. Listen.
You better leave her be.
I'm
disrespecting her.
I'm not disrespecting her, but here's what I'm saying, man. You know what really pisses me off? There is not many. I know there are some men shelters around. You know what I mean? For abused men. You know, we see the women's shelters all over the place. Really. I think there should be an equal amount of men's abuse centers as there is women's. Seriously. Because women can get abused.
Well, they got animal shelters, you know.
Oh, no. No, man.
It's always good at a Y there, Ron.
Well, check this out. Here's my deal, man. The next time my wife kicks my ass, I'm calling ASPCA. Turn her ass in.
So. No, you're not. It's only for the men folk. It's
for
the two-legged men folk.
Yeah, yeah.
Name Ron Rick.
Throw us in a cage, get our jewels cut off, and euthanize us. There you go. All right.
Well,
now we're done.
You're probably at that age. You don't need them anymore anyway.
No.
I'm leaving, y'all.
Just extra baggage. You know, so you go to the airport. Are you carrying anything? Yeah, it's a little bulky, but it's a little off to the left. Yeah.
Okay, too much information. Okay, this is Reckless Friday with Ron Reck. And Antoinette is leaving now. So have a good night, everyone.
Right.
Who
I'll see you before the
coming
show's
to the Lions Den.
I'll see you before the show's over. I'm telling you. All right, man. Here's where y'all play.
All right. Bye-bye,
you know,
y'all.
Make sure it sounds
good. Night.
All right, sweetie. We'll talk to you later.
Let me operate under
okay, bye-bye.
Hey, if you are a U.S. citizen, you're operating under public policy. Now, a lot of us think that public policy is the same thing as public law. We haven't had any laws at all since 1933. So what we have is we have a policy that you're operating under by consent.
Can you all hear this well?
Every policy that they try to pass,
I can hear it.
They call it a
condition.
Now, if you've ever been to a play at school for your children, they're in a play and it's an act, okay? And so you can tell that they're acting because they have on costumes. And so when they passed the Department of Motor Vehicles Act, they made sure that you knew that you were participating in an act and it wasn't real. Okay? That's why they dressed up all the actors. We have costumes on the Highway Patrol. We have costumes on the Sheriff Department. We have costumes on the judge when you get there. You're participating in a suit when you get to court. It comes from the word suit. This guy is in a suit right now, and so the attorneys wear suits. That's their costume. And you show up, and you're supposed to dress just like a citizen. And most of you tonight are dressed like citizens. That's how we dress when we're citizens. So what I'm saying all that for, if that makes sense, is that if those were all laws, there would only be 10 of them there. Remember the guy, the Joker, in that movie? And the guy says, how many of your friends did I hurt? And he goes, 5. And he goes, so there's only 10 laws, okay? The rest of them are called statutes or codes, and they all fall under acts. Now, here's the difference. I said all that to say this. In every act, in every statute, in every code, there's a remedy, and the remedy is not there for citizens. It's only there for the real man. Okay? Now, when I say the real man, that's who you think you are. Okay? The flesh and blood. There's always remedy. There's remedy everywhere. I can't believe how many times I've heard in the last couple of weeks someone call me and say, I'm going to court for a dog barking ticket. And I'm going to do this. What do you think? Sounds good, right? You know what I'm saying? Now, all these acts, you're participating in them by consent. And one of the things that I'd like to talk about maybe when I come to some is the Pledge of Allegiance. The other consent that we have is when you gave up title to your car. You turned it into a vehicle and you entered it into the play. And so now you're no longer a traveler. You are a driver or you're an operator. And travelers don't get tickets. They can't. There's no law against traveling, even at the speed of sound. There's no law. I guarantee you. There's also no law for a traveler to carry a license. There's only licenses for operators and drivers. So if you understand all that stuff so far, I'm going to show you how this all started because it's kind of like building a house. When you come up to a really nice house that's already built, you just get to notice how big it is. You can't break in. You've got an alarm system. You've got all these things going on with this house. The water, you don't see where the water line comes in. You don't see where the sewer goes out. It's all hidden. And so that's where we come in. We come in, we're born into this, I want to call this onto this land. And pretty soon they've got us believing that we have to participate in the play. And so we see our government already structured this huge thing. We don't see all the sewer going in and the water coming out. I said that right. We don't see the money going into the pipes. And we don't see the money going out of the pipes. Okay? We don't get to see any of that. But if you go back and see pictures of how the house is being built, you can see the backhoe out there on a piece of dirt grading off the weeds. And if you're a contractor, I like talking in those kind of terms because I build. I run equipment. I put in pipes. I dropped in sewer lines, bleach lines. I've done all that stuff. And so as you get going, you forget. You're standing there and you go, wow, I'm standing on septic tanks. What about here? Houses that I built, you go back later and you go, do you remember all the water lines had to go around that big rock that we found while we were trying to. So what I'm saying is we're going to go back in time with history from the documentation from the District of Columbia and to see how it's all transpired. Okay? Now, can you zip it up a little bit higher? Okay, the initial review of the District of Columbia, now this is called an Organic Act. Now, I don't know, organic is the same thing as charter. And it hides words behind the other words that have the same meaning so that you'll think organic means fresh. Okay? 1871, it seems like it only sets up a local government like a Chicago or a Seattle. How do you get that they formed a private corporation? Okay, raise it up a little bit. If you take the act out of this historical context, from the present looking at the past, imagine who the parties involved are. We might agree, however, we cannot do that. To best understand what really happened, we have to follow a couple of principles. And the first one is you have to know who you are before you can understand anything else around you. Okay? If you think that you're a wolf cub out in the forest, okay, and you're freezing to death, and you find out later that you're a man and you can make fire, everything around you changes. So we've got to understand who you are first to understand this stuff. Okay. God created you to be a king on your land. The word is called sovereign. That means so over reigns. You're driving the horse. You've got to hold the reins. That's what so over reigns, sovereign means. Okay. So we'll raise it up a little bit more. Always know that yourself first. Discover the true nature of all the other parties second. Okay, all that you can pass up. So we just little too deep right here. So right there where it says thus. To understand the parties involved in the District of Columbia Organic Act of 1871, think about that. That was only 140 years ago. Okay, two generations. That's it. So we're not that far back. Although they didn't have planes and cars and all that stuff there. Most of the people in that time era were biblical. Okay, they had a Bible and they had a law book. Okay, they knew the law, and those are the two books that they had on the front of their fireplace. And instead of going home and watching TV, or going down to the gym, or whatever they did, whatever we do now, Bridge Club, NASCAR races, I mean, you got to understand that the de facto has put everything in front of us to keep us distracted. I mean, every sport you could think of is on TV. When I was a kid, we had, I think, 13 channels, maybe 12, because Channel 1 wasn't a channel. But we only had 12 channels, and if there wasn't something on TV that we liked, that thing was off most of the time. We were out playing. I mean, I didn't have video games. And our children don't have the same thing that's going on. And if you look at the underlying of what all's going on with that, they're using all of that to keep us beat down, keep us tired, keep us working, so that we don't go on the internet and read the District of Columbia Act from 1871. So anyway, I'm going to go down about the third sentence. We're not going to get into this act entirely, suffice to say, looking over the situations we find, that the act is one made by the original jurisdiction Congress. So this was made by the original Congress. Okay, the good Congress. Right out of the Civil War, it started being a little more, their Congress was a little corrupt because the South walked out, and so they appointed people at gunpoint to come in and pass it. But nevertheless, they were still operating as a de jure type of government. Okay? We're going to get into that. Yeah.
That's really good.
That's okay. Now, there's a guy that's studying history. Let's give him an applause. Okay, the District of Columbia was originally provided for in the Constitution for the United States. That's the original one from 1787. And Article 1, Section 8, specifically in the last two clauses, on July 15th, 1790. So, a good thing that was put aside by our congressmen or by our forefathers was corrupted by some people that had other agendas, okay, in their pocket. The territory included the actual government. Under the Act, Congress also made the president the civic leader of the local government in all matters in that territory. So the president was the civil leader, civic leader. You see how that, he wasn't even the president. Now, if I were to change the name of the District of Columbia to the District of Mexico, and we allowed Mexico to build a 10-square-mile capital area in the middle of Oklahoma, okay, and we said you guys could stay there, and you could pass all the laws that you want. I've got to say Oklahoma because that would be right in the middle of the heart of our country, okay? Now, right in the middle of the heart of our country back then was Washington, D.C. So, but if we let Mexico set up a little spot there and we told them they could hire a little president, they could do their own little thing, but they only had jurisdiction over that 10 square miles, what would we care? Would you care? Would anybody care? I mean, if they had stated their self, okay, any laws that they passed was only for the citizens of that area and their employees. Okay, go ahead.
Isn't that what an embassy is? Isn't that like that a foreign jurisdiction in our country? Isn't that what it looks like?
That's kind of how this gets started. Okay. Let's bring this a little higher. On February 27, 1801, under the Second District of Columbia Act, two countries were formed and the respective officers and district judges were appointed. Further, the established town, is it up more? Governments of Alexandria, Georgetown, and Washington were recognized as constitutional. instituted and placed under the laws of the district, its judges, etc. So the United States Supreme Court has repeatedly called this act the District of Columbia Organization Act. So they're an organization. Okay. Or the Charter Act of the District of Columbia. Now, if you look up the word charter.
Okay, I'm going to yell this out. Charter is a document issued by a sovereign or state outlining the conditions under which a business, city, or other corporate body is organized and defining its rights and privileges.
Okay, so the District of Columbia got its privileges from the sovereign. Okay, that's you and me. We are the descendants of the sovereign. So we are sovereigns, okay? According to the United States Supreme Court, the Charter Acts, first acts, were the official incorporation of the federal government of the District of Columbia. Now, I want you to notice that the official incorporation of a formal government, not the United States of America. It doesn't say America. It says the government of the District of Columbia, as chartered by Congress in accord with the Constitution's provision. So what they did is they took something good and they subbed it out. We don't want to mess with this. We don't let them do it. Okay? Are you guys following this so far? Okay. Again, the Supreme Court called it the body of government, a corporation, with the right to sue and be sued. Now, that's good news for you and me. They have the right to be sued. We have the right to sue them. Now, here's something really great. If you've been studying 1215.org, that we, the sovereign, can change our mind. It's kind of almost like a wife. I'm not saying that in a bad way. How many men have ever gotten mad at their wife because they changed their mind? Maybe when you first got married, but after a while, you don't get mad. It's just part of the deal. I'm going to wear this. And then you come back out, you got on something, you go, did you change? I didn't feel comfortable with that. Well, that's how we are as a sovereign, okay? We can agree to a driver's license, and then we can say, you know what, I don't want a driver's license anymore. That's what sovereign is all about. There's a great case with the Indian tribe being sovereign, changing their mind. And the corporation sued them, and the Supreme Court said, sorry, you're sovereign, they can change your mind. So there's some more hope for us about changing our mind. Oh, 1215.org, okay. This guy right here has got a great website. If you go to 1215.org, 1215 stands for the Magna Carta. That's when it was signed, okay? That was one of the first documents that was signed to help the slaves get out of bondage, basically. Wasn't a great document because they hit a lot of the truth in there. That's the basics for the first rule of our standard for review. Know the parties. What we have presented is sufficient to show that the basics of who the parties are and related to resolving the answer. We admonish everyone to prove the facts or search himself. The second rule down here in that last paragraph, the rule from our standard review is when you understand the environmental nature of the relationship. With that in mind, let's consider the events of the time. The Civil War had recently ended, and the country was still under Lincoln's Conscription Act. We call that a martial law. Okay, so under martial law, president can write anything, and it's considered as law. Okay? Now, once we come out of martial law, all those laws are abated. That means they're no longer in effect. Okay? So if you notice, every president since then has declared war on something. Declared war on drugs. We declared war on poverty. They all declared war on something to keep us into a state of war so that the president has ultimate power in our country. Okay? Congress had at least three problems they could see no way to directly cure by following the laws of the land. They were out of funds. They had promised 40 acres of land to each slave that left the South to fight for the North. And they had to reintegrate the South into the Union, which they could not do without controlling the appointment of the Southern states congressional members. There were other problems, but these three stand out from all the rest. That is enough about the environment for the purposes of this review. However, the more you study the historical myth of this time, the more obvious the relationships become. And the more proof you will have to amass to prove the fact what actually happened. In the interest of time and space, Ms. Response will move on. Okay, the next one. Knowing the government of District of Columbia was already created into a government and so formed into a municipal incorporation in 1801 under the District of Columbia Act, we wonder, even with Congress's constitutional authority to pass any law within the 10 square miles of the district, how do you create or incorporate for the first time a municipal government that has already been in existence as a municipal corporation for 70 years? And the answer is, it's impossible. So what Congress did is they committed fraud. Okay? Now, the cool part is the District of Columbia only has authority over the District of Columbia. Okay? And its jurisdiction. How do they get jurisdiction? By consent. Only by our consent. So they call things instead of the Arizona State. They changed the terminology to the state of Arizona. It's kind of like being in a state of euphoria. Are we in a euphoria now? We're not in a state of Arizona either. Okay. We're on the Arizona Republic, or we're on the Arizona state, whatever you want to say, but we're on. Whenever you're in something, you're under the dirt. You're dead. You're a corporation. So I'm saying all these things to you because when you go to court and the judge asks you, where do you live, and you use the word in, you're done. Tell him. He's looking for contracts. He's looking for something that you signed. Do you have a driver's license? Do you say yes, you're done. He's looking for three contracts of three specific pieces of information to trap you into his jurisdiction. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you this. People call and they say, what is the Republic doing? Well, the Republic, for one thing, we're educating this. If I'm in a bank line trying to cash a check, and somebody says, boy, this economy is crooked, I go, we're standing in the biggest bank robbers of all time, right here. He goes, where? I go, right here. They're on the other side. They're robbing us every time we get here. And I talk about it all the time because you never know who you're going to run into that is looking for what we're doing. And I got to tell you right now, the season is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is perfect right now. I don't have anybody say, oh, yeah, that George Bush, he was great. Or that Jimmy Carter, boy, what a great guy. Everybody's just sick of everything. You know what I mean? The lights are turning on. So I'm going to get into the three contracts with you real quick so you understand some of that stuff. When you consider the historical facts, the only meaning left for the terms given in the opening paragraph of the District of Columbia Organic Act of 1871 and that which follows, it's a municipal corporation that was created. That was created as a private corporation owned by the actual government, and it's saying the government, but it's not saying our government. So what government owns it? The only government created in that act was the same government any private corporation has within operation of its own corporate construct. Thus, we call it a corporation U.S. Now, with any corporation, there's investors, okay, there's a board of directors, there's a secretary, and there's a treasury. Now, the good part is that all sounds, when I first started hearing this stuff, it was very depressing because I thought, man, we're locked in. The good news is we're sovereign. We can change our mind. You can go back and nullify contracts. You can, let me explain one quick thing about contracts, okay? How do you cancel a contract? Go ahead.
Thank you, Chris.
When you're a dead person, that's about the only way you can. But if you're in honor and there's a contract, I have an agreement with him to take out his trash every Saturday, okay? And I sign it, or I don't sign it, it doesn't matter. There's a trust there that I'm going to take out his trash every Saturday. After about 10 years of it, I go, golly, I can't even leak on the weekends. So I say, okay, I'm going to amend our agreement. That's what amendments are for. So I let him know, hey, Brad, for 10 years, I've taken out the trash for you, and I need to leave on the weekend. So what I want to do is I want to amend our agreement. I want you to take out your own trash for the next 10 years, and if you have a problem with that, you have to let me know in 21 days. if you don't respond, I'm going to accept your response and no response as agreement. And if you get mad at me, okay, and you cuss at me because you didn't respond properly, it's $1 per cussing. And this is a self-executing contract. So if you say you don't get it, too bad, I know you got it, because I'm going to have Bob Jones, the next-door neighbor, hand-deliver it to you, and he can testify that you got it. And by the way, I want you to respond to Bob Jones, the next-door neighbor, because he says you didn't respond, his contract is in full effect. That's how you amend or you cancel a contract. So if we're in honor, there's no fighting. We accept all the terms and conditions right up to the point where we amend the contract. Is it possible to amend the District of Columbia's contract?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, if I wanted to pull a tricky one to Brad in the contract, okay, I could say, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and give you $50,000 to let me out of this contract, but I put it in square brackets. I'm going to give you $50,000 to let me out of the contract, and I put it in square brackets. Now, there's some guys here that understand contract law. What does square brackets mean to that contract of that statement?
That's not a part of the contract.
That's not there. Okay. So he could say, hey, you said you're giving me $50,000. Where is it? I go, that's not part of the contract. Gotcha. Now, if he doesn't understand that, it's buyer beware. Too bad to you. Can you pull up the Constitution? When I started listening to Winston Strout, I did not understand it, but I knew that people in life were where they got to be. But from listening to Winston Strout, I forced myself to watch him. It was like eating broccoli that had been dipped in horse manure. I mean, it was hard, okay? It was extremely hard. I could not fathom what he was talking about. He would go so fast, and he seemed like a nice guy. He's got white hair. He says he's a framer. I mean, he said he had a couple of jobs. And the guy that I was beginning to run around with kept saying, you need to watch Winston Strout. Choke him down. Night after night, sometimes I'd watch the same 15-minute segment of the video 100 times. Okay? So I could understand a little bit. At least I could recite it. It's kind of like learning a song. You know, you sing it over 100 times. You can say it even if you don't know what you're saying. You can understand it. And he said, square brackets. A lot of the stuff in the Constitution doesn't pertain to us, doesn't pertain to citizens. Not us. I knew this because I was the Chief Justice for a little while, and I knew that the Supreme Court had ruled that when people come in and say, I demand my constitutional rights, the judge says, sit down and shut up. If you say that again, I'm going to throw you in jail. And what the reason why is because the Supreme Court ruled that the Constitution, that the citizens are not a party to it. How could that be? It talks about the 14th Amendment and the slaves. They're part of it. We're all a part of it. That's our Constitution to keep the government below us. Let me show you what I found. Article 1. You see how that's written? In the original Constitution, that's how it's written. Let's slide up about, let's go to 13th or 14th Amendment. It talks about the people a lot. Now, this is just an observation that I made. There's three, four, oh, that. Anybody see any square boxes? The rights of the citizens of the United States. That isn't a part of the contract. It's on there. The citizens don't have rights, like jumbo shrimp. Anybody see a shrimp this big? There are no jumbo shrimp. There's a little bit bigger ones than the bigger ones, but they're all shrimp. Okay, they're all small. That article right there, 26, is not part of the Constitution. Now, if you look at the Constitution of the United States, because there's two of them, the opposite brackets are on those ones. Okay? So if you're a citizen, you got to read the second one. If you're a sovereign, you need to read the first one. That's all there is to it. Now, I've got one more quick thing to tell you. What?
Could you explain
the Four Corners rule? Just a quick thing to ask me to find the next time you get a ticket. If the Highway Patrol pulls you over, be real nice. Hand them your license and tell them that's your corporation license. Okay, that's my corporate traveling pass. That's a public, okay? Be nice to the guy. But when you sign your name in the ticket, put a square box around the signature area and make sure it's all locked in. And then sign in that box and hand it back to him. You guys know what A for B is, go ahead and get that on there too. All right? Now, when you hand that to him, if it gets back to the court, there's no signature on it. Okay? Because if you know how to defend that, it's a lot of fun. Okay? I'm just telling you, that's one way to do it. But everything is boxed in on this thing. Now, I'm not going to show you all this stuff because this is great for you to go home and turn off 2.5 minutes.
Don't worry about it, they can't. They're not recording anymore.
So don't watch TV. If you're going to watch TV, just watch maybe half as much as you normally do and get on the computer and pull up Constitution for the United States. Go ahead. Okay. Anything that's in a square box is called a four corners rule. That means anything that's within a box on a document, it does not pertain to that document. It's like it doesn't even exist. It's empty. It's gone. It's not there. Well, if you look in a lot of the books where they, I have an old book from the 1800s about woodworking, and they were talking about how they would sharpen blades. And because the book was so old, they used to do almost all their sharpening with a stone and a leather strap. Okay? Well, then down at the bottom, they added something in there that you can get a whetstone on a grinding wheel, and you can do all this with an electric buffer. Okay, so they added that in there, and they put it in boxes, which means that the author didn't write that into there. Somebody put that in there. Okay? So it's really not part of the book. That's the same thing with your credit card bills. If you see a credit card bill, everything is always in squares over to the right. You ever notice that? You want to make a payment? The square boxes. When you put a number in there and you send in a check, because those numbers are in the boxes, your payment never gets put back into your account. You made a contribution to a corporation called Visa or MasterCard, and they're going to sit on that for about 3.5 years. And then they're going to claim is that you abandoned your money. Okay. Now, when you start seeing boxes, I want you to check this out. There's boxes everywhere. Okay. I mean, everywhere. I went into Western Union and sent a friend $200 the other day.
What an experience that is.
Okay. I had to write in a box $200 to put into the system so that they would transfer to someone else. The $200 was just an indication of what I would like to be in the system for somebody in a different area. When I signed my name to that union, okay, that name is what put the money into the system. My signature is what created the money. Now, when the money went in there, okay, by my signature, and it's in there, I gave the guy $200 free to do whatever he wanted with. So, are you guys following that? The $200 disappeared. It never made it to him. I signed something that caused the $200 to come in. Now, as I was leaving, getting ready to go, they go, we got one more thing for you to sign. I go, what's that? They go, an authorization to transfer the money somewhere else. And I said, so you're going to get two signatures. How about that? So I signed it again. Okay, now I called up my buddy and they go, hey, let me know if they make you sign twice. He goes, okay. So he signed once. They gave him money. But before they gave him the money, they said, you got to sign one more time here. So what they did, they did a dual transaction for $400. Okay? They kept all $400, and I'm sure they gave the IRS their cut because I created that money with my signature. And I gave them $200 for doing me a favor, transferring the money through a wire to someone else. Okay? So as you're going along, all these square boxes that were on that there are square boxes everywhere. I mean, they really got yourself covered. So while you're out there doing commerce, okay, while you're out there doing stuff, keep your eyes open. Start seeing it. Do you remember that old movie with Roddy Piper? Do you remember he put on the glasses and all the people are all jacked up? Do you remember that movie? And you could only see them when the glasses were on? Well, I'm getting a pair of glasses tonight. I want you to wear them. Keep your eyes open. The Word of God says, study to show yourself approved. We got to study, guys. The remedies are everywhere. They're hidden everywhere. And all those rules and zones and colors and all that stuff, there's a remedy in every one of them that we can get out, okay, of whatever contract it is. We're having some great success, 3 or 4 places now that we know of, that the judges are actually asking for the note, the original note on a foreclosure to be married to the default judgment. It has to be married according to the laws. Okay? And the judges are starting to stand up. Now, if you don't know where to tell the judge that law is, that's our remedy. Okay? So look for the remedy. If you find any, please call them into us so that we can explain it to everybody else. Did you guys see anything funny like that? Okay.
Sure.
Just understand this. That that's the form of commerce, okay, that we have agreed to. It's gotten so far out of hand that we all have to have a capital letter name on a checking account in order to do commerce. There's a private side and a public side. Your labor is on the private side. What you do for work is on the private side, okay? On the public side, there's an entity with the same name as you. They spell it a little different, okay? That's the transmitting utility in order for you to go into the matrix and go down the street and get some groceries and come back out. Now, the Republic is here so that we don't have to have that, because every time you use that, they charge you a usury tax. Now, the Bible says that's a sin. Usury is a sin. To make money with your money on interest on someone else's hard labor is a sin. But I found the other day that it says it's okay for foreign countries to do. So, if you understand, we're all foreigners in the United States. Or, you can look at it the way I look at it, the foreigners are here in my America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I hope I touched on some stuff so you guys understand. Please study. On the website, one of them is called, let me pull it up. One of them is called, if you just pull in there for a search on Google, I put up a constitution that came up, the race of we the people and the Constitution for the United States. So that one really gets into some really great stuff. But, you know, don't get depressed about it, because there's remedy everywhere. There's remedy in everything that we can do. And so as we move the Republic forward with more and more people and more army, that's it. Rate of the Constitution, United States constructive. Constructive fraud. And it talks about how if something, the Supreme Court rules on this, if something's totally fraudulent, but it's got some good things in it, we're going to go ahead and off. Okay. All through these documents, your mind will start opening. When you go to sign some documents, you'll understand. I mean, I was out in California last week, and I went with a friend to sign a contract for a demolition job. And the guy spun the papers around to him, and they were talking, and he just went to the last page and started signing. And I'm like, oh, golly, what are you doing? He goes, well, what do you mean? And I go, this guy, I read that, and he goes, well, the guy sent it over to me early, and this is the contract. I go, can I talk to you also? But I thought, you go, what if it's not the same contract? And he goes, that's a good idea. I better go in there and read it. He went in there and made 7 changes to the contract. Now, I'm not saying either one of them were bad guys. I'm just saying what he understood on the phone and what was on the paper was different. We have all done the same thing. When you go in and apply for a driver's license, you give up title to your right in exchange for a benefit and a privilege. Okay. One of the benefits is if you get her on the highway, the highway patrol, the guy with the costume on will call another guy with a costume, it's called an ambulance, and they'll come help you. Okay? That's one of the benefits. One of the other benefits is you get to go to jail if you don't pay your bill. The guy that didn't show up in court, the benefit for him acting like a convict is he gets to be a convict. He gets to go to jail. So if anybody's listening to all this stuff, I want you to know that we're going to do this because we're smarter than they are. They stole our country with a pin, and we're going to take it back. It's going to be a ballpoint blue pick, okay? I'm not kidding you. That pen, nothing is mightier than the pen, not even the sword. Okay. So anyway, I want to thank you guys for all standing around. Okay. Well, by consent, we allow that. Now, the good part is we can change our mind. Okay? So, if you guys want to talk a little bit afterwards, I'm going to start getting wrapped up. If you guys want to talk.
Well, that's about the end of that clip. I don't know if y'all enjoyed it. It's kind of longer. I thought it was three parts. But it kind of helps give us an idea of what we're looking at. Yeah, everything's done by consent. That's why we have all these people in prison. So it's all by consent. The three things the Constitution states is to be a crime has to be a victim, damage, and fraud. But, you know, they don't tell you that. It's crazy how much money we have to give up to be able to be here. You know, I mean, we give up a lot of money, lots of money. I mean, you got to register your car every year. You got to pay taxes on this, taxes on that. Every time you walk out of your house, you got to pay taxes for that. You know, I mean, I can understand it to a milk. This is a money-making mecha machine they got going, man. It's wild. I don't, you know, I can't seem to, you know, even fathom how bad this is. I mean, I'm not that, I mean, I've been studying this for years, you know. But it's come to the point now, I guess I'm at the pinnacle point of this whole journey I've been on, this, you know, researching it. It's become, wow, unbelievable. Why would people do that? Why do people allow this to happen? That just don't make no sense. But we do. We actually do. I've learned a lot of different things, a lot of different ways how things work in the system. It's a YouTube video I sent to put in the chat room. It's one, that's the, I think it was the third one. There's actually three clips in there. But it's 1215.org. I've not checked that out yet. I'm going to take a look at that and see what that's about, what they were talking about. But I don't know, we need some more information from them to find out what their story is and all that good stuff. But, it's good for people to know. But like he even said, it's getting worried. People are starting to wake. Lights are starting to go off. They are starting to go off. People are starting to wake up to this. But he's talking about judges. I don't know. I mean, because they're, you know, do they not know either? They don't, you know, they're caught into this trap and can't seem to. So I don't know. It's crazy. Okay. I'm on a site now taking a look at it. Yeah, I don't know. Click here for seminar June 7, 2014. Okay. I don't know. I'll have to look into this a little bit. I ain't got time to play with it. But, yeah, man. It's wild. I mean, this is a slow night on this show. My God. Just the guests and Billy's and me. Us three are here. Yeah, man. That's cool. But, I mean, I don't know what your concerns are. I mean, how you all feel about it, what's going on, and how we've been being treated. It's wow. It's like being controlled by the mob. You know, man, it's like, wow. It's insane. I don't know if it's ever going to get better. I hope so, but I have not seen any information on the American Spring. Billy, I don't know if you've heard anything lately or got any clips or anything that somebody shot to you. I haven't heard much information on it as far as anything being updated. Because every time I go to look, it seems like there's nothing there. There's like, if it was, it isn't no more. Let me try to look at the end here. If I could learn how to type again. The Oath Keepers are there. Okay, this was 2 days ago. Let's take a look at this clip, piece of it.
CenturyLink.
I know y'all don't want a CenturyLink prism system for your house, your entertainment, blah, blah. Oh, man. Right, here we go.
You know, I've been learning and reading and seeing and hearing a lot about everything from, you know, this really kind of burst into the public view, I think, Clive Bundy thing, although there were the sovereign citizen movement. I mean, the Oath Keepers were hot in the news a year or two ago. The sovereign citizen movement has popped up a number of times from 95, 97, 2003, 2010. A bunch of sovereign citizens shot it out, typically law enforcement officers, and killed a bunch of them. But there's like all these different kind of moving pieces to the, we're not really quite sure that we trust the federal government dimension of I'm not even sure if subculture is the right word. I don't mean that in any kind of negative way, in the United States. And so I wanted to get Richard Mack on, Sheriff Richard Mack. He's on the board of directors of oathkeepers.org, isn't it, Sheriff Mack?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, the Oath Keepers movement, and former Arizona sheriff in Graham County. You were down there with Clive and Bundy. We talked to you a few times when that happened. And, well, first of all, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me. And I want to reiterate something really quick as far as my introduction. I want everybody to understand that the reason I'm here today, the reason you and I are talking, the reason I'm involved with all this is because when I was sheriff in Arizona, I sued the Clinton administration and won a landmark case at the U.S. Supreme Court on the issue of state sovereignty. And so that's kind of a preface for why I'm anything am involved at all.
Okay, so tell us about that case.
Well, it was pursuant to the Brady Bill, and the Brady Bill was the first time in American history where sheriffs actually stood up and sued the government and won. And this was also the first time in American history where the United States Congress and the President, Clinton in this particular case, told the sheriffs that we are commandeering you for federal bidding, whether you like it or not. We're not allowing you any input, no contractual agreement, no negotiation. You will do this for us because we said so and we passed the law, and so you're going to do it. And they threatened to arrest us if we failed to comply. Let me say that again. The federal government commandeered us for federal bidding under a threat of arrest if we failed to comply. I said, no way. I was the first sheriff to file the lawsuit. Six other sheriffs joined me in the lawsuit and won. And we said the federal government has no authority to tell us what to do. They can pass 5,000 laws, and that still doesn't make them our boss. And we should have just said no. Because they're not our boss, whether they make a law that they are or not. They should not make a law that they are the boss of the sheriffs or other elected officials in any state.
So is your opinion that federal law that the job of a sheriff is to enforce, sheriffs are typically county sheriffs, aren't they? Are they not?
Yes.
Okay, so that your job is to enforce the laws of the county, not necessarily the state or the federal laws?
Well, the state, the county makes very few laws. The state really makes most of the laws. And we are sworn, though, we are sworn to hold and defend the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution.
Right.
And my case actually even brought that up. What happens to an officer when he has to choose between a very obvious constitutional provision and principle or obey a state statute?
But does not the Constitution specify that Congress makes the laws?
Well, they do at the federal level, but they have only certain jurisdictions. They only have, for instance, the Constitution only allows the federal government 5 law enforcement authorities. And we can list them real quickly.
Sure.
Laws against nations or treaties, any violation of a treaty between us and Mexico, the FBI would investigate. Piracy, treason, counterfeiting, and they are required to protect our borders. Those are the five law enforcement authorities constitutionally granted to the federal government.
Where do you find
them? If we go outside that authority, what do? Just go along?
I see some of that in Article 3. Is that where you find that?
It's Article 1, Section 8.
Article 1, Section 8.
Of the Constitution.
Article 1, Section 8.
Right. There are, most of them are in there. Treason is actually in a later section.
Yeah.
But, they're all counted in there. In fact, the federal government, in Article 1, Section 8, only did 17 assignments. Their duties are enumerated and discrete, just like my Supreme Court was in.
I'm quite familiar with them, but
for the majorities.
But, you know, Article 1, sentence 1 of Article 1, Section 8, says Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, pay the debts, and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. If you read Alexander Hamilton in the Federalist Papers, where he talks about the general welfare clause of the Constitution, he says, basically, we wrote this as broadly as we could so that future legislatures could determine what the needs of the country were, what the general welfare means, and, you know, he wasn't saying so that a sheriff could determine.
He did. And when it comes to, if you read Jefferson and Madison in response to that, Hamilton really was the most pro and the biggest of the founding fathers in a big central government. He was opposed mostly by Madison and Jefferson and others. Hamilton really was a big government guy, but even he would be turning over to his grave if he were able to see what monster we had created in Washington, where they claimed control of every natural resource, air, education, healthcare, all of that. Hamilton would absolutely be turning over his grave over.
Right. So help me understand this. As a county sheriff, you're saying that you're not bound by federal law, and you're therefore not bound to enforce federal law, and they can't make you enforce federal law.
The sheriff works for the people in his county under the promise of he will uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
If you read the Constitution specifically, the Hamilton's gesture or suggestion that the general welfare clause gives the federal government carte blanche would pretty much negate the rest of the Constitution. The Supreme Court decision in my case states clearly that they were granted only discrete enumerated powers, and such was rendered express by the implementation of the 10th Amendment. So we have to enforce the 10th Amendment. The states and the counties and the people therein enforce the 10th Amendment. The federal government does not enforce state sovereignty. The federal government is always the one destroying it. And so there has to be a healthy balance of power between the states and the federal government, and we do not have that healthy balance of power today, and that's where the states and counties and sheriffs come in to make sure the federal government doesn't cross the boundaries.
Now, when you were at Clevin Bundy's ranch, he asked all the sheriffs of the country to disarm federal officers, and why would he say that?
Well, I think he's seen the militarization of the federal government, where even the Department of Education now has used his bot game to go after a man in Stockton, California, because his estranged wife, who didn't live there, they did a SWAT team raid to collect her unpaid student loan.
Yeah.
That's how ridiculous this has gotten.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but why county sheriffs disarming federal
The federal government?
What provides you with the authority to disarm an FBI agent?
Well, I don't care if an FBI agent is armed, but I do care that BLM and EPA and FDA and Department of Education and so on and so forth, all these other federal agencies that aren't law enforcement, why are they buying up $2.2 billion worth of, or $2.1
billion? Sure, Matt, can you stick around with us for a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
We've got a few minutes. We're just going to take a real short break here. We'll be back.
Okay. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I was looking for American Springfoot. That's kind of an interesting thing with me. Yeah, man. I'm getting to wonder. This American Spring, I don't know. I can't, just can't seem to get no information out of it for some damn reason. I don't get it. Why are they not letting us know? Let's see. 6 days ago, a week ago, 4 days ago, maybe. Update Spring Lake. Maybe. Let's see how this one. You just gotta wait for commercials. All right, here we go. Let's try this one.
May 19th, 2014. As you're looking at two American patriots and a lot more with them, but you're on the left, you've got Wally Drake, and on the right, with the in the green jacket, you've got Colonel Harry Reilly. Now, Wally Drake on the left, you've been watching his history over on our website. He's been coming on with prayer and talking with folks and things like that. But guys, for an initial start, this thing has been excellent. If the media had not said on it, there would be more people there. But everything has to start somewhere. And remember, God can use the chosen few. Look at different images from the weekend and today there, guys. But again, on the website, we got the Facebook page for one of the OAS links, and I'll show you that. And they're starting to do more activity there. I think this afternoon, in a few minutes, they're going to do a block talk show that will be the link. It's, if you'll go to the website, and I'll show you that. It's got the Facebook link on it. Also, again, we're going to keep the live links, and we will add additional ones as we get there. But check out some of these images as they stare down at the sheet. They think in Congress. But look at this, guys. This is what it's all about. It's about taking back a country that's one nation under God. And it, when I see this, you don't think we're in the end times. This is Revelation 11, 17. It says, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and reign in the nations. For anger and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, and they should be judged. And they that shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and hail. You don't think God's going to be behind this movement to take back our country? You're wrong, my friends. And I want to mention tonight at 6 p.m., we're going to have our blog talk show, blog talk radio, hashtag block, BP Earthwatch, guys. 6 p.m. Central, that'll be 7 on the East Coast, 5 on the West Coast. But join us there, and anybody that's in the D.C. area, call me. The number will be on the blog talk link. Call in and give us a report. That's really what I'd like to do with the shows that we're going to schedule for this week. Keep up to date on that area. And anybody that's there, please call. Again, on the website, bpearthwatch.com, notice right there it says at the top, American Spring Facebook. Got that there now, and that's got the updates. Some of the best I've seen. Also, we have different view streams. At the top, you notice Mark Connor right there. And he's really stayed there, guys, and hung in tight. He also was doing a lot of the interviews a few months ago, up until they got time for this Operation American Spring. But this is their Facebook page. You can link it right there from the website. It is www.facebook.com, Operation American Spring, backup. Now, again, they're announcing meeting times here. They're going to have a block talk show that's coming on any minute now. And, again, in 2.5 hours, join us, Block Talk Radio. Hashtag BP Earthwatch. I'll link it in this video, guys. It's up.
Okay, well, they didn't tell me much shit either. So, we'll just leave it at that. But, hey, it's been a fun night. Good long show. I had fun with it. But we're about out of time, so we're going to
get ready to throw a song up here at you and let you tune into this one and keep researching, keep looking. If anybody gets any updates or knows anything going on, let me know. Either send a message to my show or catch us. We're on generally at 9 o'clock every night, except for a Friday night. Some nights depends on that, on me. So you never know how I'm liable to throw up a time frame, but it's Friday. And, you know, Friday is a day we get goofy and have fun with. But anyway, hey, this is your host, Ron Reck, and Push Antoinette. We'll be back with Skin tomorrow night. And have a safe, wonderful Memorial Weekend if you're on the way out to lakes or out in boats or fishing, barbecuing, or hanging out with family and friends. Be safe and be careful. And remember, the police will be out doing roadblocks for DUI people, so don't drink and drive. That ain't too smart. So anyway, I want to wish you a very good, blessed weekend. So I'll see you tomorrow night here on the same station on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good night.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love? And the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. The king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown, the courtroom was adjourned. That I die. bird flew off with a fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast. It landed foul on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass with the jester on the sideline in a cast. Now the halftime air was sweet perfume while the sergeant played a marching tune.
Them good old boys were dreaming.